Our reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 3, reading the first 13 verses. And the title in the New International Version is The Fall of Man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing on our theme of maturity and looking and taking the titles from the Belle Moody Kitty stories. Our next topic is, "It's not my fault." Things that children often say, "It's not my fault." And the theme of this series is growing into maturity and growing up in Christ. There was a man, and as all good jokes start, there was a man, and he was a bit concerned about his wife's hearing. And his wife was the sort of person who wouldn't do things, you know, she wouldn't go to the doctor, she wouldn't do those kind of things, you know, she could have a limb falling off, and she still wouldn't go to the doctor. And he was a bit concerned about his wife's hearing, so he thought, "I'll go to the doctor on her behalf." So he goes to the doctor and says to the doctor, "My wife's hearing's got really bad. I keep telling her things and she doesn't respond." And he goes, "How bad is it?" He goes, "Well, I'm not really sure." The doctor says, "What you need to go is you can do in you can find out how bad it is. Go and test it." He says, "Here's an idea. When you get home tonight, at the door, just shout out, 'Hi honey, I'm home, what's for dinner?' And if she responds, then you'll know how, you know, whether she can hear you or not. If she doesn't respond, move a bit closer, and you'll find out how bad the hearing problem is." So that night, the man goes home, and he opens the front door, and he shouts out, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" Nothing. He can hear the clinking and clanking of pans in the kitchen, so he knows she's in there. Steps a bit further forward, a little bit closer to the kitchen. Shouts out, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" No response again. He can still hear the pots and pans going. So finally, he goes up right behind her and says, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" And his wife turns around and says, "For goodness sake, for the third time, we're having spaghetti." You see, so often we think the problem lies somewhere else, when quite often the problem can be us. As we think about growing up in maturity, it's not my fault, it's not my problem, it's someone else's. And this morning we're looking at this idea of what can we do to make ourselves more grown up. See, when you have a small child and you know that they've got a cup in their hand and it breaks, quite clearly you've seen it happen, they know it's happened, and they go, "Wasn't my fault." What you do as a parent, I'd imagine, this is what my parents did for me, was they want to teach you to take responsibility for your actions. They want to teach you responsibility and say, actually, that was your fault. Actually, you need to take responsibility for that and the consequences that follow. So looking to our passage this morning in Genesis, God makes the world, everything's good. Makes man, everything's almost good, but he goes, something's wrong, he's making a woman as well. So he puts man to sleep, takes a rib out of him, makes woman. Fantastic. Everything's going great. God goes, enjoy the creation. Just one thing though, don't touch that tree over there in the middle. Not good for you. Don't do it. Won't have good consequences. So Adam and Eve are quite happy in the garden, loving life. All's good. Then the serpent comes along and says to Eve, Eve, you know what? This tree, it's fantastic. And Eve goes, no. God said we can't do that. And the serpent kind of goes, it'll be fine, go on. And we know the story of she gets persuaded to eat the apple, and she goes, Adam, who is right next to her, by the way, just to point that out in the scripture, it's not like he's off somewhere, he stood there right next to Eve. And she goes, hey, well, he goes, all right, love, thank you. All is good. Says that they then realise they're naked, all a bit ashamed. They go and hide, sew some fig leaves together, try and cover themselves up. God comes into the garden, and Adam and Eve go, whoops, we're a little bit naked. Let's go and hide behind a bush. So they're hiding. God says, where are you? Obviously, very ironic God, because obviously he knows all the time where we are. So a bit of irony there in the first couple of passages of scripture. And God comes along and says, Adam, where are you? And he goes, I was hiding, because I'm naked. And God goes, who told you you were naked? And this is how I picture it to be. Adam goes, oops. Oh yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Getting redder and redder and redder. And God goes, did you eat from the tree? And he's like, she made me do it. And then Eve goes, wasn't me, it was a snake. And as the joke goes, the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Ba-dum, bum. So when Adam is faced with the consequences of his actions, when he is faced with saying, Adam, did you do this? His first action is to say, it wasn't my fault. It's kind of like saying, I did, but it wasn't me. It's fine. It was her. And not only was it her, God, it's the her that you gave me. So actually, God, it's your fault. Nothing to do with me. It's your fault and it's her fault. And Eve goes, whoa, it's not my fault, it's the snake's fault. They all have a part to play in this. And first God turns to the snake and says, there's a curse upon you and your livestock. There's always going to be issues between you and the woman. And Adam and Eve at this point are probably going, see, it was the snake all along, we were right, that's all good. And God turns to Eve and goes, Eve, there's going to be consequences to your actions. What's going to happen is you have more pain in childbirth. And you're going to always be longing after your husband. And Adam at this point is probably feeling very smug and going, I see, it was Eve and it was the snake. Fantastic. And God goes, Adam, oh. You're going to work the land and it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be a toil and it's going to be hard. You see, we all have choices in life to make. God has given us the ability to choose. And the problem with when we're faced with choices is it then makes us have responsibility. And responsibility is something which we don't like as a society. We like having responsibility, but when it all goes wrong, we then pass it off to someone else and we blame someone else. You only have to watch the television to see numerous adverts saying, you fell over at work, someone else is to blame, have lots of money. We live in a culture which disciples us in blame, saying, it's not your fault. Say you're a bit short of money this week. It's fine. You're not to blame. It's fine. Just go on this website and get some more cash. Nothing's your fault. It's always someone else's fault. And yet what you do for a child is you teach them to take responsibility. And once they learn to take a little bit of responsibility, you give them more and more responsibility as they can be trusted more and more. And if we want to grow up as Christians, See, the Bible says when we can become Christians, we're a bit like babies again. And there's things we need to learn. There's things in the scriptures that we need to get our heads around. And so often we like being in that childlike state because it means we've got no responsibilities. We can do whatever we want to do. And God says being mature is making choices and decisions and taking responsibility for where they lead. You today are a direct result of decisions you have made in your life. And decisions that you make today in your life will dictate where you are tomorrow. You have responsibility. Now, we all love blame, though. And we hate the idea of it being my fault. And so we blame everything from our parents, our upbringing, this situation, that situation, this friend, it's the pastor, it's the church, it's them. Because it can't possibly be our fault, because we want to absolve ourselves of any responsibility and make ourselves feel better. And that's what our society wants us to do. It wants us to feel individual. It's all about you. It's all about what your life is like. And God's saying, no, I have given you the ability to choose. I've given you freedom. You can choose between this way and that way. But there's one thing you need to remember. It's your decision. And it's your responsibility for what happens with that. You see, Adam and Eve had to deal with the consequences of their actions. They were given a choice. They could choose between living in the amazing creation around them where they had every need provided for, or they could choose eating of the tree and finding out that there's something called death, and there's something which isn't so good in the world. And they chose that option. Yes, Eve was tempted. And yes, we all get tempted. It's very easy to say, Satan made me do it. He tempted me. I couldn't help myself. Maybe to an extent. But God doesn't just blame the snake. He blames Eve. And then he also blames Adam for not standing up for Eve when Eve is faced with temptation. We have to take responsibility for our actions. You are given responsibility by having a choice. They chose to eat still. Even though they were tempted, they still chose to eat. And they had to deal with the consequences that came with that. And if we're going to be mature in the church, we have to take responsibility. And I'm going to keep saying that word because it's something that I know that I need to hear. See, for me, I love blaming traffic for everything. I am someone who is always late for everything. And I always say to people when I get there, I'm sorry I'm late. It was the traffic. It was awful. I just couldn't do it. And yes, the traffic sometimes is bad. And yes, sometimes that is the real reason why I'm a bit late. But normally, it's because what's happened is I've just left late. And I haven't left on time. I should have left a bit earlier. I should have known that the traffic was going to be busy. But I try and absolve myself and try and say, it wasn't me. It's not my fault that I'm late. It's because the traffic was bad. And I try and blame it on someone else. That's something that I do all the time. You're all going to know now to hold me to account. See, we do it with little things in our life. We also do it with big things in our life. Why can't I keep a relationship? Oh, it's my parents' fault. Maybe they didn't give you the best role model in life, yes. But you still have a choice to make. You still have responsibility. And I've met so many people, and I've done it myself included, when they've gone, well, I can't help it, God made me this way. This is it, God's made me this way, I can't help myself. And God's going, no, I've given you choice. Yes, God has made you to be who you are, but you still have responsibility for your own life. That's the grace that God gives you. He says, you can take responsibility. But what I love about this passage is, even when they mess up, and God goes, it's your fault really, you've messed up. God doesn't just go, there you are, deal with it. He says, no, I'm going to make a way for this to be sorted out. I'm going to do something about it. And it says in the Bible, a passage we know really well as Christians, Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good to those that love him. And it says in Genesis 50, I think it's 21, with Joseph, he says, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. God, in his grace, even though it's our fault that we've messed up, even though those things are there, God says, I still love you, I still care about you, and I still want to be part of your life. And I'm going to make a way for that to happen. And in this Genesis passage, just after the bit we've just read this morning, it says about how God will put enmity between you and the woman, he's talking about the snake, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike your heel, and you will strike his heel. God's saying there's a promise there, and we can know that that is the Messiah, a promise of someone who's going to come and sort all this out. See, Adam made a choice, and Eve made a choice on behalf of all humanity. They chose to mess up the world, step outside of God's blessing. And the only way they could get back was if God did something about it. God sent Jesus to take all the blame for our lives, so that we can be back with the Father. But how do you become saved? How do you recognise and accept Christ into your life? You go, God, it's my fault. I've messed up. That's maturity, when you recognise that it's your problem. That's what becoming a Christian is. It's saying, I have messed up. And God, the only way this can be sorted is if you do something about it. And Christ took the consequences of our sin. He took the consequences of our actions. He did that for the whole of humanity. And he restored that first choice that Adam and Eve had. They had a choice between life and between death. And because Christ has died, and because he's risen again, and he's taken the consequences of all that has gone before, you are now left again with that free choice, that responsibility for what is to happen to you for eternity. You can choose life and you can choose death. And I believe that choosing life is the best way to go, because it says that you get to spend eternity with Christ. God has, through Christ, there is freedom to make those choices again. That is the gospel. That is what it is that we are living for. But we have the responsibility to make that decision. And everything that happens in our lives, whether we're walking with Christ or not with Christ, we are responsible for our actions. And I think there's a word in the Bible which Jesus uses, which is kind of a reflection of this word responsibility and maturity. I think the word is called faithfulness. Being faithful to the call that Christ has given you. Even when things say, you shouldn't do that. Even when the tempter comes along and says, just eat of the tree. If Adam and Eve went, no, we're going to be faithful to the call that God's put on our life, then maybe they wouldn't be in the state that they ended up in. Faithfulness. In Matthew 25, 16, it starts off with the story of the talents. It says, a man, as a master, he's about to go on a long journey, and he calls some of his servants to him. And says, to one servant he gives 5 talents. To another servant he gives, 2 talents. And to another one he gives 1 talent. And he goes away. And whilst he's away, the man who's got 5 talents, he goes and uses them and makes 5 more talents. And the man who has 2 talents goes and makes 2 more talents. He's got 4 talents. But the other man, what he does, he buries it in the ground. There's nothing with it. And it's just left there. And when the master returns to settle accounts, he calls the first man to him, and he goes, look, with what you've given me, I've done even more. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have stuck to what I asked you to do. Second man comes in, who's made more, says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have done what I've asked you to do. But the last man comes in, and he's done nothing with his money. He's buried it in the ground. And the master says, why? He goes, well, I knew that you were quite a harsh man, and, you know, this, that, and the other, and, He's saying, it's not my fault, it's your fault, basically. If you were a little bit nicer, I'd have made more money. He tries to blame the master for the fact he's done nothing with his talent. We often preach this in church, this story, as, you know, God's given you things that you can do. Are you going to use it? Are you going to be faithful to that? And that's what I want to say to you this morning, is growing up in God is saying, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to be faithful to everything that I do. If God calls me to a church, I'm going to be faithful to it. I'll be there on a Sunday morning. I'll be there at 24/7. I'll be at different things. Why? Because I'm faithful to the calling of God. If God asks me to help out at the Sunday school, I'll be faithful to it. And I'll do it even when I don't want to do it. I'd really like to go and do something else. It's saying, is your choice going to be dictated by your preference or by what God has called you to do? Because ultimately you have responsibility for that. Faithfulness, I think, is a key to Christian maturity. When God calls you to do something, you do it. And you actively choose that path because you have a choice to make. Are you going to live for yourself or are you going to live for God? As Christians, we have said, I'm in the wrong and I'm going to live for God. So let's do that same decision in everything that we do. That same decision we took to become a Christian, that is the decision we face in every decision we make in our lives. Are we going to choose life or are we going to choose death? There's a passage in Deuteronomy which I think just kind of sums up this idea of choice. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. He's saying that to the Israelites, saying you've got two choices. Both have consequences. You can choose life, where there's blessing, and or you can choose death and the curse. It's a salvation question. We make that in every decision we do in life. As Christians, we are called to try with everything within us to choose life, to choose God, and recognise that actually it's all about him, and I'm going to be faithful to that. I'm going to take responsibility for my actions, and when I mess up, I'm going to admit that and move on and learn from my failure. That is maturity, learning from mistakes. Maturity is not blaming it on other people and doing it well. It's learning from our mistakes. It's being faithful to the call of God. It's taking responsibility for our lives. And it's saying, I'm going to use the choice that God has given me for his kingdom and to bring life in my life. We have to be faithful. We need to be responsible. That is maturity. Not being swept around by everything around us, but holding fast to the decision of life. That's what I want to say this morning. It's all about life. And I want to pray this morning that you'll have the strength to choose life over death and live out in the blessing of our God and make that decision again that you're going to choose him over the world. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's share in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.